I can't see a difference. Well, I can appreciate you saying you can't see a difference, but you're not informed. I will say that. You're not informed. If you're informed, there is a difference. And if any of you need to
focus on.
Test, test. Good morning. Go ahead and stand up, give a hug as I get to where I'm going. Come on, everybody. Come on, get the juice going. Oh. All right. Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. So I really appreciate the way our worship team always seems to nail on the head what God is saying for this Sunday. And especially when you get up here and you believe that God gave you a message and something to speak, and then you get that confirmation of like the certain songs they get sang, and then Pastor Steve mentioned something, and then everything clicks together and you can't help but smile. So this morning, I want to talk about something very simple. It's very simple. So as I was praying about what to speak on, I felt God wanted to just kind of remind us of some things. So I'm going to preach a little bit, but I want to, you know, highlight some different stuff. I have a couple clips as well. And this is just going to be a reminderance, okay? Something very simple, that God meets our needs. Meets our needs. So have you come this morning with a need? Of course you did, because you're here at church, right? So we come to church because we want to honor God, we want to praise God, but we also come to get a download from God. A download where he meets us on our level. He wants to impart into us. So we come this morning and we ask God to come and just be with us and be a part of us. You have a need to fellowship. So we come here, we fellowship, we give hugs, we shake hands, we ask, how are you doing this morning? We have a need. We have needs of healing. All of us don't have perfect bodies. We all need healing. And a need for financial blessing. A need for restoration with family members. For relationships, and a need for a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Whatever your need is this morning, let's begin by praising God for who he is. So let's just praise him together. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Father God, and how you want to meet our needs this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I have a quick clip, and forgive me, I'm not going to watch it because it kind of chokes me up. But I want to share it because it's a commercial that I've seen before, and I think it's very appropriate, so go ahead, Ryan. Isn't that a perfect reminder of how God feels about us, you know? You know, I think it hits us harder when, sorry, it hits us harder when we have our own kids, you know, and we hear them, you could stop it. You're killing me, Ryan. Thank you. Let me get a hold of myself here. Okay. You know, our Heavenly Father never tires of hearing that. Tires of hearing, Daddy, Daddy. And the same thing applies to us when we have our own kids. You know, I assume almost everybody in this room probably has had a kid or has taken care of kids. And when they have a need, who do they come to? They come running to us with their arms wide open. And oftentimes we let sin dig us into such a trench that we don't feel comfortable going to Father God, right? And so we dig down and we become stubborn, and maybe we don't think that it qualifies us to run to our Father, but it really does qualify us because of who we are as children of Christ. So your Heavenly Father never tires of hearing his name called. His door is always open. His ear is always yours to speak into. His time is always your time. So number one, I have 3 points to this. And number one is God provides for his children. God provides. And Abraham, this is out of Genesis 22:14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it has been seen. And according to the book of Genesis, Jehovah Jireh means I'm the provider. It was a place in Moriah. It was the location of the binding of Isaac. So you remember God asked Abraham, would you sacrifice your own son for me? And he put his foot forward, knowing how much he loved his child, to actually go and do that. And of course, that didn't happen because God had sent an angel to stop him. But God had told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as the offering. Abraham named the place after Jehovah, provided a ram to sacrifice in the place of Isaac. So he provides for his children. He doesn't let us wane. He doesn't let us go by the wayside. He provides for us. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then in Philippians 4:19, it says, he gives the liberating promise of future grace, just as Jesus did. My God will supply every need. Not one need, not a need just for today, but he's going to supply for tomorrow, for your children, for your grandchildren. But we have to elevate our faith to believe in that and walk forward in it. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If we live by faith, this is the promise he gives us by grace. He gives riches and glory. We should follow the pattern of Jesus and Paul. We should battle the unbelief of anxiety and the promises of future grace. I was praying and I asked Kurt to just come up briefly and to share just a quick testimony of how God worked in his life in regards to a need that was provided for him. It was a little bit of a spur of the moment, but really felt like God was kind of pointing me towards him. So go ahead.
All right. We had a time in our life shortly after Ryan was born, and starting to raise a young family and everything, and we had a lot of time in prayer about how, you know, God was directing us to do that. At the time, Trish was working full-time at Messiah College, and we just felt led to have her stay at home to raise Ryan and then any other children that we would have. The deal was, I wasn't making enough income at my current job at the time to provide, to support our family on that sole income. And so we took it to God and we prayed. We had a need, because it wasn't going to happen unless God did something. And how many of you know, sometimes he does stuff not in the way that we would necessarily do it. So, and I think I've shared this testimony before, but it just amazes me every time. So Trish resigned at Messiah College, and she was home, and we were just kind of taking that step in faith. And we didn't have the income, I didn't have another job, but we just stepped out and did it. So shortly after that, Trish got a call from the HR person at Messiah College, who said, we have a person that's kind of connected to the college who is looking for some part-time help as an administrative assistant. Would you be interested? And she, you know, went and agreed to meet with this person and had like a little interview. And he offered her the position kind of on the spot. And long story short, she came home. She didn't accept it at the time. We talked about it, and she said, I just don't feel like this is what he needs. I don't feel like he needs a part-time administrative assistant. I feel like he needs a full-time like office manager, somebody who has a strong financial background who can kind of run this place for him. Somebody like you, Kurt, because I have a degree in finance. So here she's going for a part-time administrative assistant job. She goes back and tells this person what her thoughts are. You know, I don't think I'm the right person for this because I think you need this type of person. And so the man said, well, can I set up a time to meet with your husband and talk about it? So long story short again, I met with this person. He offered me a full-time position managing kind of the works there. And it was at a salary that was high enough that she could continue to stay at home and raise our children. And God provided in a miraculous way. In a way that I wasn't even looking for this position. He just kind of brought it and laid it on my lap and said, here it is, Kurt. I'm going to provide for you. Now, what do you think that did to our faith level?
Mm-hmm.
It jacked it up pretty good. And God provided for his children.
That's great. Thank you.
Pastor Adam.
Yes.
I want to share a quick testimony, too, as that reminded me. We had something similar happen a number of times, but the one I wanted to share was after we had Becky, Stacy was a medical technologist, and that was a full-time job only, again. And so we're like, well, Lord, we are not sure what to do because she can't work full-time. And that's what her degree is in. And she's already checked with all the hospitals, and they said, no, it's a full-time position. We don't want anybody part-time. We don't, you know, allow people to do that. We want you here for the entire shift. So we prayed about it the same way, and it's like, well, Lord, you know that the only time that works on our schedule, and I don't remember the exact hours, but let's say, you know, it would be from 4 in the afternoon to 10 at night. That is the only time that Stacy could find a job that will work with my schedule and the kids and all that. So about 2 or 3 weeks after she resigned her position, and we're like, okay, so now what?
Right.
Just like you guys. Yeah. She gets a call from the Carlisle Hospital. We just purchased a brand new piece of equipment. We need it run every day from 4 to 10. We don't have anybody that's free to do just that. We don't think you'd be interested in doing that every day, but would you be? And that just fit right in.
Plugged up like a puzzle piece. It's funny how God meets you for the exact thing you need. Not anything like less than what you need. Yeah. And I think the older and older I get, the more and more I see that. Very cool. Thank you, by the way. Thank you. So God meets, this is a quote that I found by Max Lucado, and it's, God meets daily needs daily, not weekly or annually. He will give you what you need when it is needed. So that's by Max Lucado. God works in the present and knows exactly what you need when you need it. God's timing is rarely our timing. Have you guys ever seen that before?
Yeah.
No, never, never. He does it right when I want him to do it, which never seems to be the case, because he knows when you need it. When you think you may need it, you may not need it. I went to school with a man, a friend named Bill. Bill Wilson, I think his last name was. And Bill Wilson was a roommate of mine for about 2 months. So Bill, the background on Bill, he was a non-believer, got saved, enrolled in Bible school like 2 weeks after he got saved. Like, so that's like a radical encounter. Like, okay, I'm living for you, God. Let's just jump into, you know, learning more about you and developing my relationship. So he comes to school, and he's a rigid type guy. You know, like, he's cursing like a sailor, and, you know, he's not really walking the Christianese type walk and saying the right things. But you could see where his heart was, and his heart was to be there to entrench himself and to let God speak into him and transform him. And so Bill came, and he didn't have a very good job coming from where he was in Jersey to school, and so this was a guy who lived semester to semester, need to need, not knowing if he would be back at school or not, but he knew that he was called to be there. And so he came in sometime my second year, came in as my roommate, and so I got to know Bill, and got to, you know, just see him transform from when he came in to that second year and how his talk changed. And he lived on the border of I have to leave school because of finances. So he was very needs driven. Like, this has to be met by God or else I'm leaving because I don't have the money. I don't have a way of getting the money other than working on the campus. So the funny part was that people would actually see this guy on his knees praying, and you know, we all knew he's praying for financial need. This is the need. So he would constantly get prayer, and he would come to the guideline, to the very end, and he'd be told, okay, we're sorry, Bill, but you can't stay for the next semester. You haven't quite met the needs. So this guy would, you know, he never was sad or gloomy, but he would pack up his stuff. So the first time he left, he packed up his stuff, we gave hugs, and it was like, well, you know, maybe God has something different for you. Leaves 30 minutes down the road, comes back, comes in with this big smile. You won't believe what happened to me. I just got this call, and so-and-so from my church back home just donated my whole semester's worth. Like, you know, like 10 grand or something like that. Just like that. And like, you can't help but have your faith level rise, even if you're not the one receiving it. But you're seeing that God's meeting a need of this one guy who's like this brand new Christian. And, you know, for me, my, you know, I went through like getting a loan, so I was kind of set in that regards. So I didn't have the same type of issues that Bill went through, needing and you know, constantly, you know, praying for that particular need. But to see him go from, okay, I'm back, this is exciting, God really wants me here because somebody paid, and then he keeps going, next semester comes, he's in the same spot again, but this time he has a different countenance about him. He's, I'm just going to pray, it's going to happen again. I know God wants me to be here. And so we're praying for him, and what happens? God's timing is not his timing. He gets in his car, he drives away. This time, though, we're all saying, Bill's going to come back. Like, you know, there was words over Bill to be there. Bill's going to come back. So this time it was an hour later, and he's back again, and somebody else in his church paid for him to be there for another semester. And this went on like 3 semesters or 4 semesters. Then finally it came to the point where he just didn't have the finances again, but he had a different feeling. I feel at peace. I feel like maybe I should go back at this point. So he left, and that's the last time I saw him. So unfortunately, I didn't keep in touch with him, but it was interesting to see how God provided time and time again, not on Bill's timing, but on God's timing. So it's pretty cool. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. So my second point is, do not worry. God has you covered. And I found a testimonial about somebody who has a family, and they were in need of a vehicle, and we've heard stories like this before where a couple's praying and they don't have something that provides for the family, and God meets them just like that where they need. So it says, I love how God always provides, even when it seems to us like he doesn't hear us or not in the way we thought. He really does always provide what we need. It's been amazing to see God provide for my friend Jason. For Jason and I. So this is the wife talking. In our 8.5 years of marriage, we have seen him do miraculous things over the years. The blessing of our van has been one of the most amazing provisions we have experienced. 2 years ago, we bought a 2004 Ford Expedition that was a blessing to us because of the massive amount of room it had for our growing family. But it was killing us on gas. We were paying around $90 to fill it up when gas was around $4 a gallon. And sometimes that was 2 times a week. I almost cried every time I drove to the gas station to fill the pump up. Oftentimes I would pray, I don't have the money, what are we gonna do? We pretty much got to a point where we didn't drive it on the weekends and instead drove Jason's little Ford Focus with no air conditioning. Then it started having significant issues. After putting $300 into it, we started experiencing even more issues with it. Has anybody ever been that? You dump money in your car and it's like, whoa, I seem to be putting more than I thought I was going to put into it. It was going to cost us even more money to get fixed, and that was on top of the 9 miles to the gallon it got. But we were into praying big prayers. God is a big God. In June, I started to really pray for another solution. I told Jason that I was going to pray for big prayers, and he joined in. We did not want to get a car payment because we were serious about getting out of debt. but even that seemed tempting to us. I even prayed that God would provide the money to put into the expedition because it seemed that we could get it going farther. I really wanted a minivan because of the room and comfort for the kids, but I didn't want to have to drive a gas guzzler. The last week in July, I got a call from my grandparents in Houston. They asked what our car situation was, and they had no idea what our condition was. It was so random. We had never talked to them about this at all. When I told them what was going on, she said, "Well, we went to the estate sale and we bought a van. We thought of you. It used to be a really nice town and country Chrysler minivan with good mileage, and we want to give it to you." Holy cow! They wanted to give it to us. I actually told her I would call her back because I was in shock and hung up. When I called her back, I asked if she really meant it and did they need us to pay for some of it. They said that they were at the auction and immediately felt like they were supposed to provide for us. All we needed was to go pick it up. As you can imagine, we were in shock, completely humbled at the same time. It had been the greatest gift to our family. It's comfortable, clean, and way better in gas mileage, and it has air conditioning. It had not been driven for a year and was in perfect condition. I could not believe how God provided for us in this way. He knew that we needed this, and it was above and beyond anything I had prayed for. It reminded me of how much God truly loves us and how much he does really hear our cry. It's also such a great feeling to see how he was watching out for us. That way may seem silly, but now looking back, it feels like he was honoring our obedience and not taking on more debt. We serve a big God who wants us to creatively and miraculously provide for us. So don't fall into the enemy's trap of continual worrying. Because as you heard there, don't worry about her. She's okay. Don't fall in the enemy's trap of continual worrying. Are you a worry wart? Well, guess what? I have a scripture for you. Matthew 6:25-26 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink." We're always concerned what we're going to eat or drink after church, aren't we? "Or about your body, what will you wear? Is not life more food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" So he's saying, aren't you loved? Are you not more loved as a human being than the birds of the air or any of those animals that were created? We give permission to God to work on our lives and help meet our needs when we recognize, when we believe, and when we receive. You get that? I'm going to say it again. We give permission to God to work in our lives, help meet our needs when we recognize the need, when we believe that he's going to work on our behalf, and then when we receive what he wants to meet our need. Corrie ten Boom said, "Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength." Don't worry. God is never blind to your tears, never deaf to your prayers, and never silent to your pain. He sees, he hears, he delivers. He tells us not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything and thank him for all he's done for us. He feels our pain and wants to heal us and give us peace. "I've had a lot of worries in my life," and this is by Mark Twain, by the way. "I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which have never happened." Right. Isn't that true? Like we start worrying what ifs, but then they never actually happen. And we spend all that time getting all worked up over nothing. It's silly. This is a rapper, Wiz Khalifa. I don't think I've ever heard him, but it's interesting what he said. "Worrying's stupid. It's like walking around with an umbrella waiting for it to rain." It's very true. God meets our needs and not our greeds. Don't misunderstand this as God will not give you the desires of the heart, because he says he will. When God meets your needs, there is no need to give in to the notion of scarcity. So what is scarcity? Scarcity is insufficiencies or shortness of supply. I have a clip. Ryan, do you want to play that clip? This is a clip by Pastor Jared. And he kind of hits it right on the head about the notion of scarcity and how we feel about the lack of supply that we have in our lives. And how we always have that notion that we always need to have something more. I need to have more money because I seem to not be out of money. Even though we have the blessing in our life, We have the house, we have the food, we have a car, we have a job, and all of those things, but yet we still have that notion we need a little bit more for some reason. And so that has to do with that, the notion of scarcity. Yeah. That's it.
She's a researcher who's written books like Quiet and Daring Greatly, and part of her research, she's got great stuff, but part of her research is identifying this thing that has affected all Americans, but not just Americans, this is across the globe. It's an idea of scarcity. And it might not make sense, but let's just talk through this. Do you ever wake up in the morning and you think, I didn't get enough sleep? Do you ever go to work and you think, I don't have enough hours in the day to get my stuff done? Do you ever think as you go to bed at night, I didn't get enough time with my family, didn't get enough time with my friends, or you go to bed and think, I just didn't get enough done. There's this idea of scarcity, but this actually tips over to all aspects of our life. It changes how we view our stuff, and we think, oh, I don't have enough stuff. It changes our money. I never have enough money. It changes how you view people. It even changes how you view yourself. I'll be frank, this is a lie. And this is a thought, a cancerous thought that the devil has put in your brain to convince you that somehow our God has given us the short end of the stick. That's not true. Because here's a promise of God. He says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So this idea of perceived scarcity, that's a warp. And what we want to do is recognize the blessing and the abundance that God has given you and find thankfulness in that so that this warp view gets back in line with what God says. And it changes the way that we look at our family and our stuff and our money and our time and our relationships. And probably most important right now is how you view yourself. Tomorrow we're going to talk about this idea of scarcity and how this changes the way that we view our stuff. So hit subscribe, comment below, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Very true, isn't it? Very true. And I think it, I don't know if it's a cultural thing. Probably is because of how wealthy as Americans we are, but it's funny, we had a conversation at our house on Friday with the family builders, and it was about how kids, especially maybe some of our kids, but kids especially here in the United States don't know how good they have it compared to those who maybe are kids outside of the States, who, you know, for them just to have a shirt is like Santa Claus dropping his whole sleigh on them. You know, or having, you know, shoes to wear, or a book, or something like that. And so scarcity almost gives us a sense of anxiety because we feel like we have to keep pulling in more and more. And it's something that I kind of deal with a little bit with, and it's something I've been bringing to God because, formulate this here. With my children, I see that they, I guess as I get older, I see my kids getting older, and you guys have probably can feel the same way I feel, where you see your kids getting older, and you wonder, did I say what I should have said when they were 3 years old to them to make sure that they learned correctly in a way? Did I spend enough time with them when they were 4 years old or 5 years old or 10 years old, and how you can't get that time back, and. And so that's something that I've kind of brought to God where it starts to build up a little bit of an anxiety in me. And I have to lay it before him and realize that God has, you know, all of us in a time and place, and God has all of our needs met, and he wants to meet our needs, and that we don't have to live in that sense of anxiety when he's providing for us. So we can all identify with Pastor on that. In Exodus, we're going to go to Exodus 12:31, and it talks about the children of Israel and how they were in Egypt, and Moses was commissioned to go to the Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, we've seen Charlton Heston and we've read the story, but it's interesting taking the side of Pharaoh, because Pharaoh did not want to let them go. Pharaoh was stubborn. Pharaoh wanted his slaves. Pharaoh obviously didn't at first see the power of God and see the needs of the people being met. But in 12:31, it says, "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron." So he summoned them because there was all these plagues. He was probably getting tired of all the illnesses, the children dying, or the frogs. I mean, I have ants galore in our kitchen right now. I'm pretty tired of it. I'm ready for the bugs to leave. So it says, "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. He said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you've requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also bless me.'" Come again? Bless me? Why would you say bless me after you've been brutally attacked with all of these different things? But the interesting part is Pharaoh sees how all of these things are happening, and he sees this power, this movement. He sees the Israelites and their time of need and how God's intervening for him. So he's saying, "Oh, and bless me, by the way, on your way out. Just bless me because I see something going on here." And so the great king of Egypt, who presides over the monopoly of the region, asks Moses and Aaron to bless him. The powers of scarcity admit that that the future holds less. But when Pharaoh asks to bless me, he's seeing Israel as being provided for, and he wants to feel provided for as well. Now, Moses ultimately said, "No, I'm just going to ignore this because you've done enough for us." But it's interesting that Pharaoh sees that the children of Israel are provided for because of what happened, and then they end up leaving. So Pharaoh saw the needs of the Israelites, God's favor on the people group. He attempted to seize the opportunity for possible favor. Moses ultimately ignored the request, but it's interesting that he knew this secret ingredient. And so the same thing applies to us when we have our needs that we need to be met, and the people on the outside see how we're praying and how we're standing in faith for those needs to be met. That's going to raise our faith level, but it's also going to challenge that person to wonder what's going on with them who needs their need to be met, and then ultimately God presides over it, and then you have this great testimony. What's the ingredient? And that ingredient's Jesus, right? The ingredient's our Father who meets our needs, and so those on the outside are going to see that. Psalm 37:4, and so my third point is live your life as you are blessed, because you are a blessed individual, you are a blessed Christian, you are a blessed family member in the house of God. Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Are you living your life like you know that God wants to give you the desires of your heart? Because he says he does. Matthew 19:21 says, Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Jesus was concerned about people, but he wasn't concerned about stuff, right? Taking care of people's needs was the essential part of his ministry while he was on earth. That was Jesus' heart. Shouldn't that be our heart as well? So we know that he's going to meet our needs. Shouldn't we be able to take the needs of the poor and be able to meet those as well, because we want to live a life like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus, so that we need to reach out to those who may not have what we have. Looking at his disciples, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Jesus isn't just saying that if you make sure you're dirt poor, you're going to take the kingdom. That's not what he's saying. He is iterating that you, if you live your life of giving, then you will inherit the kingdom and be blessed. Be blessed. If God meets our needs, shouldn't we try to meet the needs of others in our community? How about the needs of those in our workplace? Families, church. Those are all key points that we need to remind ourselves of. You are truly provided for by Heavenly Father, and that's something that we need to grab hold of and believe. We are truly blessed because he meets our needs, no matter the circumstances. Remind yourself how blessed you are today. Remind yourself. No, we get to Thanksgiving, and then we remind ourselves. Why not remind ourselves every day? Why not just get in that mindset of, man, I am truly blessed. I am truly blessed. I wanted to, if it's okay, kind of end my message with the song, "He's a Good, Good Father." And so I asked the worship team, if you guys can pop right up. And I think we should also pray, but to really give God the glory, because we know that He's going to meet our needs for whatever the situation is. So, Father, we just pray this morning, Lord, that you would remind us, Lord, that you would remind us leaving the walls of this sanctuary, this church, Lord, that we're not to worry, Lord, that you have us covered, God. You've already said to us through the songs and through the testimonies, Lord, that our faith should rise. Our faith should rise because of who you are and who we are in Christ, and that we're provided for, that you meet whatever that need is, God. That as the older we get, Father God, that we would appreciate, Lord, the small things of how you meet our needs, God. The small things, because it helps us to get through to the next point of when things get larger, Lord, we can step forward and say, you are going to do it, God. You said in your word that you would do it on my behalf, and so you're going to move forward and do that on my behalf because of who I am as your child. And so, Father, I just ask blessing upon this body, God. I just pray for the needs to be met, Lord, whether it be the finances, physical healing, relational needs, all those different things that come into play, God, Lord, that you would meet us at that level, God, that we're at, Father. That you would meet us at that level, God. That you, Holy Spirit, would move on our behalf. Lord, we're human. We're human. A lot of things we can't do on our own, and so we just ask, Lord, that you would intervene on our behalf. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to take just a little bit of time to praise you, God, and to declare of who you are, God, who you are as our Father. You are a good, good Father. And so we just want to give back to you and let you know, Father God, just like that clip we saw where the kids were just constantly saying, Daddy, Daddy, Lord, we want to say Daddy to you this morning because we trust you, Lord. We trust in your provisions over our lives. Amen.
You stand with us.
And I've heard thousand stories of what they think alike, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that your peace and that I'm wherever I want. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provided, you know just what we need before we say your word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am, and you are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Love so undeniable, I can barely speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. love, love, Abba, you're a good Father. It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Yes, it's who I am.